The world that we live in is upside down, but I'm telling you, there's a church that's right side up, and that's the church of the living God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow down before him. Amen. Glory to God. And then he has included you and has included millions within side of the of what we call the body of Christ, the representation of Christ on this earth. Amen. There is, when a child is conceived and the process of waiting to be born, God uniquely, I think it was David said that we are wonderfully made. And so to take care of that fetus, it's what we call umbilical cord that connects to the mother as well as to the fetus, the child that's being developed. It is there where is all the nutrients and all the things, the substance that is put in place for the growth of that baby. Amen. Without the umbilical cord, the baby wouldn't survive. And it is uniqueness of God to every detail of our life. Amen. I know that we lose loved ones, and we have this recently lost an individual, and we can't, I've said it before across this pulpit, we can't often choose the way we leave this world physically. We can choose the way we leave this world spiritually. We have that choice. God's given it to us. Through the years of ministry, I've seen wonderful passings, been in the room with those that have eased all out into eternity. I have been placed where there have been just such destruction and heart-wrenching situations. But the main thing is making sure that the soul is intact. The soul is intact. Amen. And the umbilical cord for you and me, I know we're born. We may be at different ages in this sanctuary tonight. But the umbilical cord that brings forth the substance of life and the elements that where God can work through us, our umbilical cord is prayer. Is prayer. Prayer is not a small thing. I'm not teaching on prayer tonight, but I feel like the Holy Ghost wants us to understand that prayer is the essential things that has the ability through us to see things accomplished and done as we are connected to God. And that connection is through prayer. Some call it prayer and supplication. It does so in the scripture. But the umbilical cord, if you ever get prayer broken, then you've separated yourself from the ability. We was talking in the office before coming out with some about some of the pioneers of Pentecost. And the essence of the disciples seeing the wonders and the signs and the miracles that we all want to see, we all want to be a part of. And the key element in all of that was prayer. Prayer made without ceasing. In other words, the whole life was about talking to God, connecting to God. That umbilical cord of substance not being broken, but staying very connected, that what God has and can all the elements of him can flow through us in prayer and connection in that realm. There's men that go back to the very beginning of this gospel. The gospel, as I said before, is an example of what can be done. How God can work through humanity, can work through you. We have men who who walked through what we call now as Iran, that used to be called the Persian Empire, get a revelation of the oneness of God and the scriptures, and God open up and prayer, life of prayer, connection with God. So back in the late 1800s to the early 1900s, of many apostolic churches being established in that old Persian Empire. Didn't have transportation, but walked the distance between villages. What caused that to happen was prayer and the power of God walking and moving through an individual's life. We see that happen in men that we would look at today. As one in my memory in the office there was a man by the name of Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth was in England, but there was things that transpired through his ministry. Signs, miracles, wonders, how people saw raised from the dead. But he was a man of constant prayer, constant supplication, that umbilical cord connected to God, and what flowed from God flowing through him. It's not any difference. Whatever your name may be, it's how you're connected to God. And prayer is that connection. And I think it is the same thing for a church. If prayer is made and it's made consistently, it is that connection that causes the church to respond to whatever need may be there around us at the time. I believe sick can be healed. I believe miracles can be done. But it's done because the church is connected to God, that umbilical cord of prayer. And you walk in that and you live in that. It's connected to you. Amen. There was times that Wigglesworth would send a team on ahead to a city, and their job was to pray. Pray, pray, and pray again. Maybe surround the city in prayer, supplication. We're missing that today. Amen. We're missing that kind of commitment today. That's the difference between being connected with the umbilical cord of God and not being connected. It is that power that flows through us, amen? And so when Wigglesworth would get to a town, it was already saturated with prayer, faith, and believing. You walk in any devil and tell them to get out, and they'll pack their bags and leave. I said, you can tell the devil to leave and he'll pack its bag and leave. So Jesus I know and Paul I know, but those other fellows who are trying to cast that devils out of Stephen, they said, the sons of Stephen said, I'm sorry, but I don't know you. Who are you? If a devil doesn't know you, he'll run over you. Back up and do it again. He won't even honk his horn. He just run over you. You see, believe in that, Pastor? I believe it with all of my heart. We've been having some phone calls from... It started out with a phone call. I'm from certain bank, International Bank, and our audit has gone through and see that we've got a check for you. How many have received those phone calls before? Have you ever received any phone calls of any kind of pranks? Oh, yeah. So, listened for a little while and I hung up. They called back again. This time it was from Jamaica. Next time it was from Hawaii. Next time it was unknown. It was on and on and on. But he called back the second time. When I answered the phone, he said, I'm coming to kill you. I've got your address. I really must have made him mad when I hung up. Come on. God is not the author of fear, but of a sound mind. And an umbilical cord that's connected to God, and you can say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, that phone call rang again to say, what? They called about 30 times yesterday. That was before noon. Really must have upset him really bad. Okay? So we didn't think he was going to call anymore. So this afternoon, I'm in my office, and the phone rang. Looked down, it's from someplace. It was in from Hilo, Hawaii. I knew that rascal. I felt that spirit. I laid my hands on that phone. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and everybody on the end of this phone right now. See, can you do that? Yes. If you got the umbilical cord connected. I hope I just sent something out through them lines, through the air, and then that thing is smacking. Now, if I show up missing the next couple days, I'm going to start praying really good. Not only good, but hard. Amen. We have a counter for all of that, and that's called the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I apologize for my ability to read my notes very well. My glasses are out of date. I go Thursday for a shot in each of my eyes again. Thursday afternoon. I can see long distance with the left eye. So don't you try to pull anything. I can see out of my left eye long distance. They worked on that one. The right side, you can probably get away with it because you're all blurry out there right now on the right side. Okay. So when I look through my glasses, I got to look through the top part of the top rim of my glasses. For some reason, there's clarity there. Maybe there's a truth about that. Look up. Look up. So if I want to see, I look over the top of my glasses like a professor, okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. How did you get in the church? You got it through the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood was the value currency of eternity, and he purchased you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about the power of the blood today. I think that we need to understand is God is a God today. He's not only the God that we read in the Old Testament, not only the God we read in the New Testament, he's a God of the 21st century. How many believe that? Yes. What he did yesterday or in the Old Testament, he is more than able and capable of doing it today as well. We've got to believe that. We've got to know that is true. My God can do today what he's always done. Amen? And there's something about faith and believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Word tells us. So I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in it today. The blood of Jesus had and has the power to change history. And we are part of that history. Calvary is the focal point of all the ages. It was looking towards Calvary. After Calvary, we still look back at Calvary because Calvary was the filter that filtered out the sins of mankind of the world and the world to come. It was at Calvary, through the shedding of blood, that changed the course of the history of mankind. All the ages before it looked forward to it. All the ages since looked back at it. There against the skyline of the history of the world is the cross that Jesus Christ hung on, with its message of eternal significance. Its essential message is this: man is hopeless, lost without a Savior. Can I get an amen on that tonight? Amen. Christ came to the earth and He died once and for all. He bore the sins, the penalty of sin, on behalf of man. And He brought to us, all that will receive it, eternal life and joy. The symbol of atoning blood speaks, I think, so clearly and loudly. Its call echoes in every generation that will receive it and reaches across the centuries. It is a call on our hearts and our lives. First, how will we personally respond to the offer of eternal life? It's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. What seems foolish to the ear, that man can have all of his past erased and covered by the blood that flowed from Calvary's cross, the back of Jesus Christ, the crown of thorns on his forehead, dripping down his nose and his cheeks, and running down his feet from where they were pierced by a nail, and that blood falling to the ground. For humanity, he did this. Dying for our sins, not for that time only of the first century as we know it today, but clear through to the 21st century, and if it tarries, and beyond that. How will we personally respond to the offer of eternal life through the sacrifice of the Lamb? Secondly, how will we live in response to the precious gift and its generous and loving giver? The blood has never lost its power. Isn't that good news? Amen. Never, never, never has lost its power. In the first aspect we look at, we find that we're in a kingdom of God. And in that place that sort of merges together, amen. What merges together is the purpose of God and the grace of God. His purpose is always there to be fulfilled. But in our dispensation of time, it is the grace of God that unfolds that unto us. I'm here tonight because of His grace and of His mercy. You're sitting here in this service tonight, or you're watching online simply because of the grace and the mercy of God. It's by His blood that we are saved and washed and cleansed. He established a covenant people of God, manifested in the church, and are called bringing the message of redemption and deliverance throughout by the blood to a hurting world. What will wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood. What will wash you whiter than snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ the Lamb. There's no limit to what Jesus' blood has accomplished and what it will accomplish as we live out our covenant relationship with God and His people. You see, you are His church, His example of what the power of God can do. When I talk about a covenant people of God in this world, the church is the precious creation of God. The blood purchased people, you are blood bought, blood washed. I don't know where you were baptized. Might have been in a lake, might have been in a baptismal. It might have been in this city, might have been in another city. Might have been recently, it might have been years and years ago, but the blood never loses power. When I was a missionary, we were in Germany, my wife and I, we baptized a multitude of people in bathtubs in army barracks. Oh, fold them up. You may be too long, but I'll fold you up and get you under the water. Amen. Why? But you had to be buried. Your nose can't be sick it out. Your elbow can't be sick it out. We'd have water almost clear up to the top of the rim of the baptistry. And we baptized somebody, the water would flow out onto the floor. We had to clean that mess up. But it was worth it to see souls baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Baumholder, Germany, we had a service. I was preaching in Baumholder, and the pastor of Baumholder had several Germans attending that night. And after the service, they wanted to be baptized that night, and the snow was falling down. And so we drove out to Lake Baumholder. There was ice on the lake. And so Brother Figueroa, who was pastoring that work, he broke the ice. And we got car. It was like back in the early 1900s, the late 1800s. Here, this old had these cars around the lake, had our headlights on. The snow was falling down. People on the bank was waiting, and they had blankets in their hand, waiting for these people to come out of the water. I don't know, there were six or seven, maybe more, being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. They want to be baptized now. It doesn't make a difference if you spoke German or Italian or American. The Spirit of God or the blood of God will cover you no matter who you are and what country you live in. There's power. It never has lost its power or abilities. Brother Figueroa stood in that water if the last one was baptized. I think almost he turned into a popsicle. He was frozen. He was shaking. He was trembling. He was so frozen, so cold. The church can never accomplish the work of the Spirit by human ability alone. Church, I'm going to tell you, listen, we cannot produce, and I'm going to tell you what, the VPS said again, it was fantastic. So we're so blessed to have the Foxes here with us to do those things. And this is not anything demeaning what they have done or all the work. But folks, you need God to do the work. We get the program together, but oh God, we're nothing without your Spirit moving, without the power moving. That's why we need to have that umbilical cord connected to God. We can walk in faith, walk in faith, walk in knowing that God's able to do all things. Come on. Pass out 2,000 packets. That's okay. Pass out 5,000. But oh God, we need your Spirit to move. We need a covenant of the blood to cover this city. We need your power to anoint the hearts and the minds of the sinners and the lost and those with broken homes and broken lives to be stirred and moved. God, we need the covenant of your power of your blood to move and to flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If we do our part and have faith in God, he'll do his part. All the seed that was sown, passing out packets, the VPS, if we do our part, God will do his part. I said, God and them's going to do his part. If we don't do anything, we can't expect God to do anything. But if you're doing something for God, you can expect God to do his part. Why? Because we've got an umbilical cord. We're connected to God. Something's flowing, something's moving, something's happening, and we believe God will do it through us. He's got no one else to do it through except you. In this city. Its only hope is to seek and welcome the abiding presence of God. Describing the reality of this aspect of the church's mission is found in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 20 and going to verse number 22. Ephesians 2, 20 and 22, going through there. You having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I come here tonight as a dwelling place for God's Spirit to dwell. Go ahead, Lord, rattle around in me. Go ahead, move around in me. It's your temple, it's your house. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Are you connected with that? If I'm living in my house, I may be upstairs one moment, I'll come down the stairs and go down the kitchen. Open up the refrigerator, see what's in there. Open up the garage door, walk out in the garage, walk around, hit the button, let the door go up, and walk outside, check the truck, see if it's okay. Why? It's my house. I can roam in it anywhere I want to roam in it. I'm your house. You're the house of God. God can roam around in your life anywhere he wants to roam around in your life. Come on. You can't put him in a corner of your life and say, you stay there until I need you. You're the temple of God. He can roam around his temple anywhere he wants to roam around in. He can convict you one room and make you shout in another room. Make you weep and cry in another room. Just have your way in my temple. Walk around, move around. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The church is here for a dwelling place that God can move in as a Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled congregation. Spirit-filled congregation. We're not ashamed of the Spirit. Not ashamed of the gospel, the power of God. Amen. You can speak in tongues. It's okay. The Spirit of God moves. It's all right. You could shout. If I come down and hit you on the big toe of the hammer, you'd shout. You're just fortunate I don't have a big hammer up here right now. I just would try that out. Let's see if it would work or not. Brother Damon says, I'm glad you don't have a big hammer. You got to keep that umbilical cord connected. That's where the Spirit flows. That's where the nutrients are located. That's where the power is at. That's where life is in. When you disconnect from God, you disconnect from the source of everything he has for your life and your spirit. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. The highest calling of the called out is to worship our God. Greatest calling you have is to worship God. I wish God gave me a gift. He did give you a gift. He gave you a gift of worship. Come on. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be exalted. His name lifted up as a testimony to his power and his goodness. Well, the people of God in the Old Testament, you look in the Old Testament, read it, gathered in there. In their offerings and sacrifice, they worship. New Testament believers understand that the one sacrifice has been offered. That's Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And they come together to celebrate the name of the one who shed his blood for our salvation. Why do I need to go to church? You need to come together with the family of God to celebrate, to lift up the only name given to mankind that will save you from your sins. Join our voices together. Family reunions are not what they used to be. The old patriarchs are gone. The grandmas and the grandpas or the great-grandmas and great-grandpas, they're off the scene. Who's going to keep the reunion going? Who's going to keep the family together? It does for maybe a year, maybe for couple of years, and after a while, the second and third cousins, or the fifth or the sixth cousins, they lose interest in it. Can I tell this congregation something? Do not let your descendants ever lose interest in worshiping God. If you're going to be the patriarch of your family, if you're going to be that leader within the church, you need to understand is they follow what they know and what is placed inside of them, and you've got to lead them in the worship of God. This is why we gather together in the house of God. I come for the good music. No, no, no. You come to worship him who died at Calvary's cross. I come for the fellowship. No, no, no. You come to lift him up who brought you out of a dark and a weary place. I come to have fellowship. No, 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 you didn't. You come to seek the one who found you while you was wandering in loss and darkness. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for finding me. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it failed to produce the fruit. Why did he curse that fig tree? Because he expected something from it. Let me say that again. He expected something from that fig tree. If we are to bear fruit, and God comes by, he expects us to be producing fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. He cursed that tree because it wasn't bearing fruit. You say, well, historically it wasn't the right time of the season. It's like saying, well, I don't feel like it tonight. I've had a tough week. I've had a tough life. Just can't get with it tonight. But what if that night was the night he came by to look at the fruit? What if it was a Wednesday night? He'd come by, look at the fruit, see what you had. You know the story. I like the story. Husband, wife, they're fighting, arguing all the way to church. Of course, none of you would ever think about doing that. Fussing and carrying on, and they get to church, and church service is moving along, and the man, he's worshiping God, you know. Church is over with, they leave, they're driving home, and she was a little still upset, said, why were you worshiping? Why was you worshiping like that, like nothing was wrong? He said, I wasn't mad at God, I was mad at you.
There you go.
Several years ago, I was a saint in the church, and that's a precious place to be, a saint in the church, child of God. We had a preacher at the home church that there was some that wasn't pleased with at all. I'm new in the church, and I didn't know him better. I didn't know that you could sit on the preacher. I didn't know that. Y'all were quiet. He was preaching. I said, amen to the... Amen! It was a good word, amen. About a night or two later, my wife and I got a visit. Come ask us an important question. Why I was amening the preacher. I said, because he's preaching the word. That's infallible, folks.
Amen.
You may not like the preacher, but you better love the word. Come on. You gotta love the word. Oh, I'm gonna roll right now. Hang on. There's a lot of churches that like to change preachers quite often. Problem is, the same preachers come in there over and over again, preaches the word. You've got to fall in love with the word before you fall in love with anything else. I had a precious mother-in-law. I'm here to tell you, she endured a lot through her years of walking with God. But one thing that you can count on with Alta Hobbs was she loved the Word of God. It made no difference what somebody did on one side or the other side of her in the church, or didn't make difference what battle the church is going through. She come to get her Jesus on. She come to get her Jesus on. She come to worship God. I've seen her come and worship God, and the power of God hit her, and she'd be walking like a chicken. Just, I mean, high step. Ooh, glory to God. I don't care where you're at. If the Spirit of God is moving and the Word is being preached, it is a powerful combination. Why? She had an umbilical cord connected to the one high up. And it was flowing. It was flowing. Did I get off subject? I don't think so. I think it's still the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It really is. We cannot bear it to be fruitless. One of the primary tasks of God's people is to bring Him glory. And we do this by telling God's revelation, recounting His mighty acts of power, and continually praising His name. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21 counsels us to glorify Him in these words. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Here's the kicker. According to the power that works in my neighbor. According to the one worshiper we have in the church. Now, if he or she gets kicked off, we know God's here and we will join in. According to the music director and the praise team, if they really get a good one, it gets hot, man, I want to jump in on that. No, no, you're just riding on someone else's wagon. It's about what's in us. According to the power that works in us. That's the only thing you need to know about that verse right there. That's why that umbilical cord of prayer is so essential to stay connected to God. Come on. Because without being connected, without that baby being connected to the umbilical cord to the mother, that baby will die. Yes. Without you being connected, there's no power that's going to work inside of you. Yeah. You can want it. You'd like to see it. But it's got to be working inside of us. And because it is, it'll bring glory to God. It'll bring glory to His name. Bring glory to the power of God. Man's always trying to figure out a way to arrange his own salvation. But the judgment of God about man's attempt is expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. Don't like the message? Trying to reach you all I can, throw you a life ring with big rope tied to it to pull you in, just doing my best. If you're drowning out there in a world of doubt and fear, The word will throw you a life ring. It will throw you that you can hang on to. You can hang on to the word of God. The world looks at the message of the gospel and declares it foolish. The idea of the blood of the Lamb having saving efficacy is thought to be insane by some. That's crazy. Yet the church itself is meant to be a manifestation of the wonderful wisdom of God demonstrated to the cross of Calvary. There's a lot of things that you have in your heart and your mind and your spirit that ties you up. You need to turn loose of those, untie them and turn them loose and let them go. I said, you need to untie them, turn them loose, and let them go. Because they will sink you. They will sink you. I can't turn loose of it. How long can you hold your breath? After a while, you'll be bubbling. The essence of life will come out of you. My wife reminds me quite often, we see people go through things or their attitude or their spirit inside of them is not right. She reminds me oftentimes, well, the acid destroys the container that it's in. The things that you cannot turn loose of and give to Jesus, it will destroy you. Will destroy your spirit, destroy your life. You try to swim to the top. You try to get going. You try to swim to the top. By the time you think it's there, it pulls you back down. It pulls you back down under. The Apostle Paul knew that through the preaching of the gospel, that wisdom is revealed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Though he slay me, I will still serve him. Who said that?
Job.
Though I feel like I'm in quickmire, I'll still serve him. Though it seems the world has turned against me, I shall still serve him. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. The power is never lost, or the blood has never lost its power. You stay connected through prayer, church. Let me tell you, that's your umbilical cord. That's where the substance of everything that keeps you alive, that's where it flows through. That's where substance is. That's where direction is given, through the Spirit. It's where the word of knowledge comes through.